Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Spend just a moment quietly thinking about something that is very valuable to you. Now imagine that valuable item being lost or stolen. How much would you pay if you could have it back? Of course, some things would be worth a lot. Others maybe not so much. What if the thing that was so valuable to you was your favorite pet? I still miss my dog an awful lot. What would I give to have him back? Or what if it was your husband or wife or a child? How much would you give then? I'm not trying to depress you or cause you to live in the past or to wish for things that are not possible in this life. But I do want you to consider what Jesus means when he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You probably wouldn't consider buying back an old, beat-up, worn-out cell phone if it was stolen from you. But perhaps if you'd just upgraded to the latest iPhone or Galaxy, then it'd be worth it. The point is, in order to pay a ransom for something, it has to have some value, doesn't it? Consider the fact that you are much more valuable to your Creator than any amount of silver or gold, more precious to Him than diamonds and gems, much more valuable than a favorite pet. And so giving up everything, His very life, He buys you back. He ransoms you from sin and death. And that certainly has to say something about your worth, doesn't it? Now today, when we talk about paying a ransom, you might first think about ransomware and an attack on your computer whereby somebody steals and locks your data, and in order to get it back, you have to pay them money, a ransom, for your data. One such attack this last year demanded a whopping $30 million as a ransom for that data. Or maybe when I mentioned ransom, you thought about that distinctive Amber Alert tone that beeps on your phone every once in a while when some kidnapping has occurred, where maybe a ransom is demanded for the return of a child. In either case, generally speaking, the one who has locked the data or kidnapped the child or some other possession becomes richer when the ransom is paid to them, and you, the victim, become poorer while hopefully regaining that which is more valuable to you than money. But when Jesus goes and ransoms us with his own life, the devil doesn't get richer. Instead, he loses everything. Jesus gives up the Holy Spirit, he breathes his last, he offers up his body and his blood, he lays down his life, but then he quickly takes it up again after setting the captives free. He takes back what belongs to him, and in doing so, he ends the devil's reign of death. The devil can no longer lay claim to anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ because he has paid the price. He has ransomed you from the thief, from the usurper, and even from death. He does what is impossible for us to do. That's what this text is asking you to consider today. Consider everything that he gave up to rescue you, and that even before you knew that you were in trouble. Consider just how precious you are to him. The text today begins on the road, Jesus with his disciples and a small crowd following after them, and Jesus was out in front. The text says it this way. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. I think you can picture it. It's almost like they can't keep up with Jesus, and they don't understand the rush. They had some idea what waited for them in Jerusalem. At the very least, we know that they were expecting a battle. But their army really wasn't much to talk about. 12 disciples and a little crowd of hungry people behind them. But what's that compared to Herod's army? What's that compared to Romans and their swords? Not much. And yet they did know that Jesus was a miracle worker. They could see that he was not afraid, even in a hurry, but still they were amazed and afraid. For his part, Jesus was hurrying to Jerusalem, but not for the reasons they believed. As Jesus slowed down and waited for them to catch up, two of the disciples decided to ask a question of him, and they wanted him to agree to the answer before he even knew the question. They sound a lot like children here asking for something that they know that they can't have, but wanting to get a yes answer anyway. Jesus says they don't even actually comprehend what they're asking. They want to sit at Jesus' right and his left in his kingdom, in his glory, the first and second positions of power. It hardly mattered to them that he had just told them for the third time that they were going up to Jerusalem in order for him to die and be raised up from the dead on the third day. They couldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. They didn't understand. And so they provided their own meaning for why Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem, why he was hurrying up to Jerusalem. They believed he was going to take Herod's throne, that he was going to gain independence from Pilate and Caesar and the Romans, that Israel would be restored. And so these two bold disciples, known as the Sons of Thunder from another earlier event, don't want to miss out on this power and glory of his kingship. While he's busy thinking about ransoming the world, they're busy thinking about themselves. And they really don't understand at all what they're asking Jesus to do for them. To clarify for them, Jesus asks, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Can they receive the cup of the Lord's wrath at sin and drink it to the bottom? Can they be baptized in their own blood as he will be? Can they ransom the world?" They will be martyred. They will bear the cross the Lord has prepared for them. They will share in the cup of suffering, and they will shed their own blood. But they will not bear God's wrath at sin. They won't carry the sins of the world on their shoulders. They cannot give their lives as a ransom for many, not even as a ransom for themselves. That is entirely Jesus' cross to bear. When the other disciples hear what is going on, they are upset with James and John, but not because they're hindering Jesus from going up to Jerusalem, but because they want to share in the glory too. We know that feeling far too well. Misunderstanding what Jesus is doing for us, seeking something that he has not promised or offered, shying away from the cross. But Jesus didn't go up to Jerusalem to sit on a throne or to overthrow the Roman government. He went up to set the terms of peace with his enemy, to ransom his disciples, the crowds that followed, and even the whole world, including you and me, with his own blood. He wouldn't have bothered to do this if all he was redeeming was an earthly throne or a temple made of stone. An old covenant that we couldn't keep and we still can't keep. He wouldn't have been in such a hurry if there was some other way, if his sacrifice for sin wasn't absolutely necessary. They're right, he is a king and he would have glory. He would wear a crown and have a throne. But in this world, that crown would be made of thorns, and the throne would be a bloody cross. He didn't hurry to those things reluctantly. He didn't think twice about giving up everything in order to redeem you. That's how valuable you are to Him. Not because you've done everything right in His sight, because you know you haven't, but because you are His creation, made in His image, given for good works in His name. He gave up everything to get you back because you had been stolen away from Him. In doing this, He has forgiven your iniquity, and He remembers your sin no more. You belong to Jesus. Nothing can ever separate you from His love. Nothing could keep Him from going up to Jerusalem and paying the ransom that was demanded in order to redeem you. Remember that in the midst of your struggles in this life. Remember that when you think of what is valuable in this life. Remember that He loves you, and there is nothing more valuable to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.